All right, hello everyone out there. This is Alex Peterson of Family First Legal Group. Thank you for listening today, as you do, and listening to some of my friends and colleagues that I get to work with in this wonderful business that I have. Today I'm with a good friend of mine, Sue McDonald of Sue McDonald Life Coaching, who does a fantastic job with her clients and colleagues, and I can't recommend her highly enough. Sue, welcome. Please introduce yourself to anyone listening out there.
Well, thank you so much, Alex, and thanks so much for having me here with you today to talk. I work as a life coach, but I'm also a licensed mental health counselor, and the focus of my practice is stress management coaching. And most of my clients are women that are experiencing stress and overwhelm as they're going through a transition in their life. And what I do is I help them to transform their stress so that they can have relief. And then at that point, they can get clarity. And then we've got clarity, we can make better decisions and take action in those areas that we want so we can reach our goals. If you don't manage your stress, you're not making the best decisions that you can be making.
And there's a lot of overlap between my business and your business, as I help a lot of women who are in a stressful situation, and you're a stress management coach. Mm-hmm. You probably think divorce is one of those situations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of the biggest transitions that people go through.
And can you explain the differences between coaching and counseling because of your wonderful background?
Absolutely. And I get that question a lot from people that are calling. Do I need counseling? Do I need coaching? Counseling tends to be more internally focused about feelings and emotions. Usually people are coming with an internal conflict of some sort, and they come to counseling feeling bad and they want to feel better. It pretty much is the goal. And with coaching, people come with a different readiness. They oftentimes are more ready for some change. They know something isn't working and they want it to be different, and they're ready to take action and make some changes in their life. It's very action-focused, behavior-focused, rather than just feelings and emotion. Now, we do inner work, definitely work on strengthening the inner game, more so in the beginning, and then really taking action to get those results that people want in their life.
And Sue, if it's okay, you know, you're sharing with a particular type of audience here because of this business. Do you feel comfortable telling our listeners about your divorce and what happened, you know, as you experienced that?
Absolutely. And it was a long, long time ago, back in 1990. I moved from Southern California to Florida. And within a month, I got a job and became a single parent on my own. And I'll tell you some of the feelings that I had. I was scared, sad, frustrated, lonely, angry, hopeless, anxious, disappointed. A lot of negative feelings, especially in the beginning. However, mixed in with those negative, awful feelings, I also had relief. And I felt hopeful at times. And sometimes I even felt free and sometimes optimistic. And then I felt guilty because I felt happy and free and optimistic. And it was just, you know, a really crazy time with the emotions. But looking back, I can see that was all normal. A lot of people go through all that.
And you get to now observe that kind of secondhand in your work with folks that are going through dissolution. Do you handle or do you work with folks who are going through this?
Absolutely. In the coaching, I help people that a lot of times they come to me with particular issues like single parenting. They can recognize, you know, even if it's just in the separation period, they're not even divorced yet, but they can recognize that, wow, I'm not doing very good. I'm so stressed and overwhelmed. I'm just not doing this well. I need help and I want to do it better. And so we take a look under the hood and see what's going on and why they're not, and put together. In coaching, you have very clear, specific goals that are measurable. So go under the hood and then put it into action.
You made a great point there, Sue. They don't have to be divorced or going through a divorce necessarily. They could be separated or just experiencing some difficulty in a relationship, and you'd be a great asset for them, wouldn't you?
Correct. Thank you. And absolutely, another is co-parenting. You know, a lot of people find themselves reacting to their ex-spouse or soon-to-be ex-spouse and not behaving in ways that they wish that they were in front of their kids and such. And, you know, that's something that I help a lot of people with, too, is co-parenting and being the co-parent that they really want to be.
And since you mentioned the co-parenting, what are some activities or programs that you suggest for someone that's going through a divorce or a split up when they have kids together, young ones that are still in the house?
Okay. One of the things I would suggest is a divorce support group. because, you know, to get mom and dad as healthy as you can, that's the best thing that you can do for your kids, is to, you know, go through a divorce support group. I'm not saying you have to, but if it feels like you, it may be helpful. Sometimes when we talk to our friends and family about what's going on in our life and our struggle, they agree with us and they tell us everything that we want to hear, but sometimes that's not most helpful to us. So sometimes a group like that can be helpful. I suggest, and this might sound obvious, but planning family dinners together. A lot of times we get so busy and stressed out with everything that we're just throwing dinner together, then we're on to the next. You know, and our kids are only going to be kids for a short time, and we need to value that time, and sometimes if we don't plan it, it doesn't happen. You can volunteer together, or, you know, if money is an issue, you can do different volunteer things. It could be walking a dog. It doesn't have to be structured. You can walk your neighbor's dog. Scheduling fun, another. It seems so obvious if we're going to have fun, but sometimes you find yourself on Sunday night, oh my gosh, you know, we got the laundry, the shopping, the this and the that, and we didn't have any fun. And just keep remembering, you know, these are your kids. They're only kids a short while. You want to have fun with them.
Now, all of that is just phenomenal. I mean, it's so easy to hear. If you schedule it, it may not happen. But the truth is, if you don't schedule it, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it just doesn't happen. So when you're talking about maybe someone on the other end of the spectrum who doesn't have kids any longer, maybe in their second marriage or older years, but they have financial worries, what do you tell that type of person? What activities can they engage in to feel more comfortable?
Yeah, and of course it depends on where they're starting from, but if you haven't managed the finances before, if your spouse did, you need to get real. You need to get help. If you need help, it could be a family member, friend, a bank, somebody to help you just to get on track so you can start out well and have that not rise to the top of your list of stresses. You need to get real about what you have. Know what your income is going to be. Know what your expenses are so that you can budget, so you can live within the budget. If you don't live within your budget, there goes the stress. You got it. You know, you got stress on top of financial worries if you don't take care of it. And then I always tell people, get real about your lifestyle. Is it going to stay the same when you're single and you're not married any longer? It might, but it might not. And if you fight it and you don't accept it and maybe downsize possibly, maybe you're not going to keep the house because you can't afford it, you need to downsize. So just get real about what it is that you have, what you can do, and the more you can accept it, the happier you can be and the less stressed about it. And your kids are going to be okay. If you have kids, they're going to be okay with less stuff, but more of you. They need you, your heart, your love. They don't need this stuff so much.
That's such a great point. And we were talking offline before this meeting here, and you had mentioned a story of someone that you had worked with that wanted so desperately to keep the home, but then they moved in the home after the case was over, and they were strapped, and they were angry, and they were frustrated because they couldn't meet the obligations that come along with the home.
Right, exactly.
So probably a better idea to be realistic about what they can afford comfortably, right?
Yeah. And eventually they had to get real, but they went through a whole lot of stress to get there, where had they done in the beginning, they wouldn't have had to go down that particular road.
What do you consider, if anything, the one most important thing someone can do when they're going through a divorce or a breakup?
To me, the most important thing to do is to get you on your to-do list. Self-care. In other words, self-care. The best thing that you can do for your kids is take care of you. You're role modeling, taking care of yourself. You are being a better you. You're feeling better. You're just a better parent. Self-care in my book is physical. Starts with the physical, the absolute necessities. You got to eat. You need to hydrate. You need to move. If you don't have time to exercise, take the kids on a walk. Take the dog for a walk. Do anything. Take the stairs, but get moving. That helps you just to feel better. If you don't eat, hydrate, take care of yourself, then you don't feel well, and then everything else is harder.
And they can try CrossFit like you and I.
Absolutely. They can go out and just kill it. So those different things, and then also your emotional health. There are things that you can do. Stay connected with people. A lot of times when we go through a time like this, we feel different than our friends because they're maybe not going through a divorce. And if you withdraw, if you disconnect, then that raises your odds that you're going to go into a depression, which you don't have to do. It really helps to stay connected with people, healthy people if possible. Try to get out every day. volunteering is something you can do for yourself, for your mental health, your spiritual health. Typically, we get more out of it than we give. We get more than we give. Anything that can get you out of your head, volunteering is a great one for that. Spiritually, if you've got a spiritual practice, belief, don't let that go. You need that. You really need that during this time. And, you know, it could be anything from athletics to a god to going to church, art, nature, whatever it means to you. Don't let that go during this important time.
I like to say that to clients that are really worried about their case, if you're not willing to view this as a time of opportunity in some small way, I don't want to work with you. I mean, you have to try to find some silver lining of opportunity in there. And I think the most prevalent is an opportunity to reassess and take inventory of how we're doing, and a lot of times that's overlooked. So I'm so happy to hear you bring that out.
Yeah.
Now you go ahead.
I just wanted to add to that. It's hard to say what's the one most important thing. Another I just like to kind of throw out there is maybe even a survival key, and that is your attitude towards your divorce. It can be all bad and terrible and all about loss, or as Alex said, and I just, you know, I'm so on the same page with you. We can use it as an opportunity for change and growth. Take a look at our lives, reflect, and we can choose to be better rather than being bitter. You know, most of us know somebody that 20 years later, they're still talking about their rotten ex-whatever spouse, and they, you know, they never got better. They never grew through their divorce. And then we know people that grew, got better, and have, you know, maybe even a richer life.
Great point. So you've given us a lot of good info, and people can listen back through this to get some other nuggets that you've dropped. But what is the best way for any of our current clients or prospective clients that could be listening to this to get in touch with you personally if they want you to help them through their journey?
Certainly. You can reach me by phone. My number is 239-821-0066. Or my website, my email is on my website. My website is my name, Sue McDonald, MCDONALD, like the hamburger, SueMcDonaldLifeCoach.com.
Perfect. SueMcDonaldLifeCoach.com or 821-0066. And in the event that somebody from my team, someone from my stead calls you and says, hey, you know, I got your information from Alex or someone over at Family First, and I really want to work with you. It sounds like what you said really helped me out. What offer can they expect to receive from you, if anything?
Well, if they call me and they tell me that they got my information from you, from your website, I will give them $60 off of their first month of visits.
Outstanding. Awesome. Thank you so much for doing that for our folks, and I really can't tell them how much I think they need to take you up on that offer. Because just a month of coaching with you would be a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It really can. It's an excellent process. And most people believe that, well, maybe not in just a month, but over time, feel more empowered in their life. That's my passion, is helping people to become more empowered.
Awesome. Sue, thank you so much
for
joining me.
Thank you, Alex.
And I look forward to working with you in the future.
All right. Thank you.